All right, it's 1:32. I think we do finally have attorney Tom DeVore back on with us, and we appreciate your time, Tom. I think we got a better signal.
Yeah, I was in a bad area, ma'am. I apologize.
No worries. I appreciate you making the time for us. So you were trying to explain to us. Look, one of the things that I'd love to just get an explainer on, even if you're not representing Cabello anymore, is
sure.
This whole idea that his case would affect more people. So while the Representative Bailey case, I thought, just affected him, this second one doesn't. But explain that to me.
No, I can explain that. And just so people know that are listening, I've just been on the phone. There's a lot of different lawsuits flying around across the state. Some of them hurt more than they help, but that's keeping them in a vacuum is important. Representative Bailey's case was just amended yesterday, and that amended case, the impact of it would affect every business and every citizen in the state, the way that it's pled. Mr. Cabello's case, I'm still the attorney for record of him. It still has the same, again, it's pled that way as well. So that distinguishing characteristic right now between those two cases no longer exists.
Got it. Okay, so if Bailey's proceeds, it would impact more people. What would it do, and where are you now with that case?
Right. We have a hearing tomorrow. And so the way that it's being pled right now, what it's addressing, it's very focused. It says that the second and third proclamations of disaster entered by the governor are invalid because they don't meet the definition of a disaster in Section 4 of the Emergency Management Act. It also, if my client is successful, the proclamation of disaster that we're in right now that was dated May 1st, that whole proclamation would be a nullity. If that were to be successful, then any executive order issued under emergency powers would not apply either. The second thing that Mr. Bailey raises is that the Emergency Management Act, the emergency powers, can only be wielded for 30 days. So it's asking to find any provision in the emergency powers would be deemed invalid in its totality. So those are the main arguments, and those exist in both Mr. Cabello's case and Mr. Bailey's case. The distinguishing characteristic is that Mr. Cabello's case has now been moved to a federal court at the request of the governor because of a constitutional issue raised in that case, which is, it's there. Mr. Bailey's case, as the way it was pled initially, does not raise that same nuance. It's called a federal hook. And when it deals with different courts, that is not in Mr. Bailey's case. So Mr. Bailey's case will not be removed to a federal court for those reasons. And right now, the governor's office is trying to get a transfer from Clay County to Sangamon County, which we're objecting to, and that will be heard tomorrow at 1 o'clock.
Okay, that's getting awfully legal, and I'm not sure I understand how much of that really impacts all of us, other than it's moving its way through the court, and that's okay. The other thing I want to ask you, though, is more generally, I heard that you are getting a number of people calling you to see if you will represent them. Is that happening, and who's calling, if so?
I have, yes, absolutely. I'm glad, because that's the question that a lot of people are asking me and that I'm talking about. There's provisions in the Department of Health Act that allow for a business who disagrees with being deemed a public health risk to object. We have an enforcement directive that was promulgated by Dr. Zeke herself, sent out to all local boards of health, wherein if a business owner disagrees that they are a public health risk under the enforcement or the executive orders, they can object through the provisions of Section 2305 of the Department of Health Act. My clients are following those very exact provisions that the Director of Department of Health promulgated and sent out. And as of right now, following that exact legal process, I don't know the number off the top of my head, but at least 50 business owners, probably, I'm guessing, have followed that exact protocol and have received no objections from their department. The ones that are open, no objections are the Department of Health. And they've been able to open, and they're not being closed down by the Department of Health in their local county or the sheriffs, et cetera. So, and don't quote me to the exact 50, but it's probably 50.
Okay, but you're getting a lot of people calling in to see, hey, will you represent me?
I have three people that I hired that I'm paying myself that call my office, grown men and women, crying and begging me to help. I had a lady call me yesterday in her late 60s who heard her husband built a business themselves They've been saving for retirement, and they have now exhausted all their retirement funds trying to save their business, and she pleaded me to help her. I can tell you those calls in general that keep me up at night for the last 2, 3, 4 weeks, begging me for their help because they're going to lose everything that they own.
Yeah.
Those are the stories of people that I want to hear. I write down every one of their names. I have them in a file for myself and for my staff to keep those stories, because those are the stories that aren't being told that people need to understand are happening. I'm not trying to make light of this COVID issue. I understand it. I'm not a public health official. We have public health officials. It's called the Department of Health. I respect their authority and their ability to close a business. But wielding that power from the executive branch of office is not what the law of this state requires. It requires the Board of Health. And you know what? Our Board of Health, ma'am, for these businesses, they're not closing them down. They're not deeming them a health risk. And that's all I'm trying to accomplish. I'm trying to follow the law as it's written. And you know, there's a lot of support in that. So
if things work out the way you want them, would it be they would revert to the county health department to make the determination about what's safe, or what are you going for here?
Well, that's a good question. And again, you know, I listen to words very closely. When you use the word revert, I would quibble with you, because when you say revert, that gives credence to the fact that it could ever have lied where it's at right now. So I'm not asking for anything to revert. I'm asking for the power that our legislative branch of government gave. It's the supreme authority. It's in the statute. I didn't make it up. Of issues of closure of businesses lies with the Department of Health. And what I'm saying is that there was no set of facts where the executive branch could ever assert that authority and wield it from the office of governor. So I'm not asking for anything to revert back. I'm asking us to merely follow the rules that have been in place for issues such as this COVID virus that have been in place for over a century, because back in the typhoid, it was the very same rules that protected our people. And those rules are in place right now. So when these businesses are opening and opening responsibly and not with any restrictions or any interference with local Board of Health, everybody knows that if the local Board of Health comes in and fights a real, tangible public health issue, they're going to shut them down and there's nothing I can do. And I can tell you those stories in general, too. I have had clients quarantined, and I have had no business who's closed yet. I apologize. I've had clients quarantined under the Department of Health Act the very way it's supposed to work. And I tell them, you need to voluntarily consent, because if they take you to court, you're going to lose. That's the issue my clients have, ma'am. The issue is not trying to protect our people. We want to protect our people's public health, but we don't want to give up the due process rights that our legislature has given us by agreeing that the executive branch of government never had the power to wield this authority. The Supreme Court of Wisconsin found that very thing, and I believe on behalf of my clients that these courts in our state will find the exact same thing. Not whether what the governor's doing is prudent or wise, it's that he never had the authority granted him by the Illinois Constitution or by the state legislature to wield that kind of power. That's really what we're dealing with.
Okay, and so but the people I didn't mean to use revert in a bad way. That was the word that came to my mind. But you're a very good lawyer for pointing things out like this. I just what I was trying to figure out is, are they wanting to reopen, and would it be up to the county health departments in order to sort of police stuff, and that's what you're kind of ultimately asking for, legal stuff aside.
Exactly. Yeah, legal stuff aside, but you're right. But that I can actually, as you said, as lawyers do, we're looking to the law. We're looking for businesses. And we've done this properly. Businesses to reopen. And if the county board of health thinks they are a public health risk, they can take them to court, and the law provides. Get them a court order that says, sorry, sir, you had your day in court. I mean, we've all heard that language as non-lawyers, right? I want to be heard. Okay, mm-hmm. You had your day. Sure. The judge says you're closed. But that doesn't mean if these businesses open without any interference from the health department that the health department has lost their oversight. I can tell you what, these health departments down where I live are very good at their job, and if there's any kind of squeamish of a public health risk, like tangible to them, they will act. This whole issue, and again, I am not making light, and people that have talked to me, this is the first time you and I have talked, I do not make light of what we're dealing with at all. But this whole issue of flatten the curve, whether or not that's wise or unwise, etc., what I can say is that there is Illinois Supreme Court authority that says that type of health policy that merely tends to prevent the spread of a virus is illegal and you can't do it. Those aren't my words. Those are the words of the Illinois Supreme Court. So if our legislature wants to try to craft some law to allow that to happen within constitutional principles, go ahead and do it, and maybe we'll argue about that. But the executive branch, the office that holds the power of our military to wield those rules in an executive order, ma'am, I went to law school exactly to disagree with this. I disagree respectfully. I will never say anything bad about the governor. It could be Governor Bonner. It could be Governor Quinn. I would take the same position. I'm not political in this sense. This overreach that my clients are arguing is the issue that we're dealing with, not whether the response is reasonable or not reasonable. If you've read the most recent proclamation, there's 4 or 5 pages of whereases where it talks about this pandemic, and I'm not taking any of those lightly. I'm just saying all of that information is nothing but fodder as it relates to whether or not the authority to enter the meat of the executive order is authorized by either the Constitution of Illinois or by the Illinois Emergency Management Act. And to that end, my clients are adamant that neither one of those authoritative doctrines given the power to enter that order, which is a completely separate conversation of whether or not these things are wise. If okay. The legislative branch of our state wants to enter all of those rules, we'll talk about it. Governor can't.
Right. So. Tom, I appreciate your time.
Right.
And I know this is not over yet, so this is the first time we've talked, and I hope we talk again. I hope you check in with us. Let us know how things are going. And, thank you. Tom DeVore is his name. He's the attorney representing some of the businesses who are either suing the state or they're reopening, and you just heard from him.